the head of CBS keeps his job for now. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson in for David Brancaccio. Leslie Moonves, the CEO of CBS, will continue leading the company while it investigates sexual misconduct claims against him. That was the decision of CBS's board after meeting yesterday. In a New Yorker article, six women accused Moonves of sexual harassment in incidents spanning from the late 80s to the early 2000s. New York Times media reporter Ed Lee has been following this story and joins me now to discuss. Hey, Ed.
Hey.
So, Ed, as you mentioned in your piece, you know, CBS took immediate action against Charlie Rose when allegations surfaced against him. NBC also acted quickly against Matt Lauer, removing him from the Today Show. Why do you think this is different?
Les Moonves is a pretty powerful figure who runs the entire network, as well as other parts of CBS Corporation. You know, Showtime, for example, is part of that. Simon & Schuster, the book publisher, is also part of that. So taking a pretty quick action to sort of push someone aside would have pretty dramatic effects, you know, would ripple through the entire business. So I think the board clearly is acting, you know, as cautiously as they possibly can. The comparisons are apt, but they're also different given just the scope of what Les Moonves controls. And that's probably a factor, but it is striking that they hadn't taken any action.
And Les Moonves, he has options here too, right? Are there any precedents for CEOs stepping down ahead of an investigation like this?
There actually is a relatively recent example. Martin Sorrell, who was the CEO of WPP, which is the largest ad company in the world, he stepped down when allegations came to light about his behavior. And the board was actually going to investigate him as well in terms of these allegations, but he stepped aside ahead of that. And so what it did is it allowed him to cash out his stock options and retire from the company without any of these allegations being corroborated by a board investigation. And the company basically considered this a closed case. So he sort of was able to walk away without any further harm or any further implications. I think the company itself didn't want to really dig into it, and they were probably grateful that he voluntarily stepped aside. That is a model for potentially Les Moonves. It doesn't seem like he's quite going that route, but that's the closest comparison in terms of the head of a major company like that.
Ed Lee, media reporter with the New York Times. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Sure.
American consumers did their part to help the economy in June, spending on restaurants and accommodation in particular. Consumer spending was up 0.4%. Incomes rose by the same amount. I guess make more, spend more. We got some inflation data as well. Let's discuss with Lindsay Piegza. She's chief economist and managing director at Stifel Nicolaus. Hey, Lindsay.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So, Lindsay, we know the Fed meets this morning. Their preferred measure of inflation, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index, out today, 1.9%. Their target is 2%. What do you think?
Well, I think the Fed is going to feel pretty comfortable in the expectations that the market has set forward in terms of an additional rate increase come September and December. Now, up until this point, we've really seen vast improvement in the labor market, with the unemployment rate reaching that full employment range and actually falling below that lower bound of full employment for quite some time. But inflation has been that missing component. Now, with the most recent reports, we do see that although the CPI and the PPI have been well above that 2% threshold, the PCE, which is the Fed's preferred inflation metric, is now catching up to that 2% target. So the Fed is looking at these numbers this morning and feeling pretty confident to continue to move along that gradual pathway to higher interest rates.
All right, Lindsay Piegza with Stifel Nicolaus. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Bloomberg is reporting that the U.S. and China are trying to restart trade negotiations. Talks stalled after the U.S. levied tariffs on Chinese imports because of what it sees as unfair trade practices around intellectual property. China retaliated with tariffs of its own. The U.S. threatened more tariffs. And back and forth we went. New talks could maybe break that cycle.
As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace is able to do what we do every day thanks to funding from public radio stations, foundations, corporate underwriters, and listeners like you. Thank you to all the Marketplace investors who've contributed over the last year for helping keep public service journalism strong. All of us really appreciate your support.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
When it comes to traveling between major cities, planes, trains, and automobiles, mainly cars, are the usual go-tos. But buses, well, their use could be on the rise. From Los Angeles, KPCC's Sue Carpenter reports.
FlixBus coaches are lime green, brand new, equipped with Wi-Fi, and priced to make intercity bus travel even less expensive than driving. A trip to Las Vegas from L.A. costs about $15 compared to $115 by car.
Americans are ready to say goodbye to cars, especially in California.
Pierre Gourdain is CEO of FlixBus U.S. The German company recently set up offices in Los Angeles and started running buses between L.A., Phoenix, Las Vegas, and a handful of other cities earlier this summer. It's one of the newest entrants in an inner-city bus travel market that in recent years had hit a rut. Revenues at major bus companies were either flat or declining, and some had even cut service. But now, rising gas prices and airfares have started to make the bus not cool exactly, but at least more attractive.
This year, we've seen the inner-city bus industry finally get, you know, its wheels back.
Joseph Sweeterman is a bus transportation expert with DePaul University. He says there are a number of companies offering new types of bus service, from overnight sleepers to charter buses that are crowdsourced. It's all given dowdy bus travel a new sense of momentum for trips of 200 to 400 miles. Those are usually taken by car or plane, especially in the spread-out Southwest.
The competition's a little weaker there.
Throughout the U.S., one demographic that may give bus companies a boost down the road is young people, because fewer of them are learning how to drive. That's according to a University of Michigan study. And for those who do drive, Joey Alvarado lives in L.A. and frequently travels to Las Vegas for jiu-jitsu competitions. He says it's all about convenience.
The majority of the time it's by car. I'm in charge of when I can leave and when I get there.
He did take the bus once, and he thought it was pretty convenient. So why doesn't he take it more often?
I think I just kind of like having my car.
New kinds of bus service or not, so do a lot of people. In Los Angeles, I'm Sue Carpenter for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Tracy Samuelson with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.